Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It's 6:30 p.m. It's Monday. What the hell is the date? I have no idea. It's August something.
22nd. August 22nd.
You know, I get lost on these weekends, folks, because I kind of go dark and I disappear on the weekends and spend as much time with my family and forget about the bull crap as I can on Saturdays and Sundays, and sometimes I lose track of the date. Hence, today, I forgot what date it is. I know it's Monday, and I know I have a show. It's Monday. It's 6:30. I'm on. I got that part right. I'm good.
It ain't no 6:30. It's 5:30. You're over there on the East Coast with, you know, weirdos and stuff.
Yeah, 5:30.
God's time.
Yeehaw,
dang,
damn it. Well, I was down on
Don't
the phone
ever do
Friday
that
night.
Again, Mark. Don't ever try to fix
it.
No. Every Texan and Southerner just had to get a Q-tip out. Oh, gosh, no, don't ever do that again.
Dag nabbit deputy dog, you've done it again.
Oh, heavens. Okay, so back to the topic at hand, and we'll get you some voice lessons if you really want to act. Anyway, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Constitution 101 on Patriot Nation Radio Network, we will be starting off with our series, Article 3. It's got a few sections to it, approximately three sections, and we will cover it maybe in its entirety to this evening. So if you want to just kick back and get ready for this fun and enjoyable educational series, Constitution 101 on Patriot Nation Radio, the Patriot Nation Radio Network, with me, Mark Hoffman, your host, and my co-host, and who also has her own show Friday nights, Constitutional Truth, Charlotte Science. So kick back, get ready, and dig this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Let me get a unit to FDR 112. Shots fired.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called LESMA. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27, 2016. May you rest in peace.
It's time for another party.
Austin, Texas.
Saturday, September 3rd at high noon.
Join us on the east side lawn of the Capitol.
Because you deserve a day off.
And a little substance, too.
Let's party!
The Republican Party.
The Democrat Party.
The Libertarian Party.
The Constitution Party.
Border control.
BLM.
Islamic terror.
Transgender bathrooms.
School curriculum.
The Supreme Court.
The UN at the Alamo.
Governor, we would like a word. Come on. Come out and hear
Jalise Finicum,
daughter of Lavoy. Ernest Lee,
founder of the Liberty Pledge.
Tommy Attaway,
author of We Defy. Timothy Frazier,
libertarian candidate for governor.
James Neighbors,
founder of Overpasses for America.
Fred Schneider,
executive director of Overpasses for America. And warrior woman
Stephanie August.
John Jarnicki,
president of the Republic of Texas. Doc Green,
RagingElephantsRadio.com.
Crystal Lee Larimore,
publisher of the Damn Good Times.
And Jay Stanley and Sharon Darrington.
Texas Patriots for Secession. Not to mention
great music by the Green Brothers Band.
I said not to mention that.
Saturday.
September 3rd on the East Lawn of the Capitol at high noon.
Be there.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Honey.
Defend Freedom Tour featuring Ayla Brown and Madison Rising. Special guests include Karen Vaughn, Jason Redman, Cody McGregor, Jason Beardsley, Darren Selnick, Carrie Shabbert. Get informed and get involved at DefendFreedomTour.com, coming at you in red, white, and blue. Not all guests will be at all locations. Check the website, DefendFreedomTour.com, for further details.
Not about themselves, about the idea of America. We need a hero, someone to show us the way. We need a hero who speaks for the people and what we have to say. We still believe this land.
Yes, indeed, folks. There you have it. And you heard they were talking there about Dave Bray USA and the song Last Call. You want to make sure you head over to Dave Bray USA and check out the video for that song, because that song, without seeing the video, you don't get the full idea of what that song's about. It's really awesome. Great video. It's good to have Dave Bray back making music. I see he's out playing shows. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff. America needs that guy to keep rocking and spreading his message the way he does. He does it so well. And, of course, TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Sean, is there anything happening over there at Texas True Patriot Gear to help out our P3 political prisoners?
Well, I have a great announcement to make. We were able to distribute funds. The Anderson, Sean and Sandy, they didn't want funds.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted T-shirts. So we sent them a couple of – yeah, I know. It's kind of cute. We sent them a couple of –
we want
your
money. We want some T-shirts.
Yeah, they were like, we don't want any money. Yeah, we don't want any money. We want a couple of those Liberty Tree T-shirts. So Cynthia mailed them out T-shirts, and we'll be updating the the inventory on those shirts here pretty soon. Unfortunately, we are in between printers right now, so we don't have a current inventory of what's on hand, and we aren't doing any more styles at the moment until we find a printer like we had before who's willing to work with us without doing ridiculous things like, I'm only going to print 40 at a time, or it's going to be, you know, $85 setup fee per printing, and, you know, silly things like that. So for right now, t-shirts are kind of on hold. We are getting ready to put on the next two series of wristbands, and the Andersons both chose camouflage in the same color, so they'll be getting out there pretty soon. But we have shrunk the availability of those collectible wristbands down to a much smaller number, so when they're gone, they're gone. And so, yeah, you guys want to definitely snatch those up when they're available. So once my partner in crime on that gets me the information, I'll be getting that stuff up on the site. You guys rush over there and get them. I do have the posters from Micah McGuire in. So if you have not yet ordered them, you want to. They were limited to 10. Three have already gone, and 100% of the proceeds from his artwork go directly to him. So you want to make sure that you help him out and order them. The price of the poster is very inexpensive, and he did that artwork from jail. Of course, it was in pencil, and his father, who is an author and also a graphic designer and artist himself, add the color work and the background to it. And so between the two of them, we came up with that gorgeous artwork that's up there. So go ahead and get your orders placed so that I can get them shipped out to you, and you can have a little bit of history in your hands, because even though we see so many of them taking plea deals, and we see the administration that we have here literally bringing to them deals such as, we have zero evidence against you, but because you hit like on a Facebook post 2 weeks after something occurred, and therefore we're going to use that as conspiracy against you, folks, this still is history in the making, because those of us with common sense and a brain realize that these are bogus BS charges, and that none of these men or women should be up on conspiracy charges for what they did. They stood up for liberty. They quite literally repeated what the original Sons of Liberty did. So these are new sons and daughters of liberty, and they literally put their lives, their honor, their liberty, and their fortunes on the line to stand up for liberty. And whether or not we agree or disagree with their methodology, the fact that they took that stand against a wholly corrupt, rogue, and wicked government is what we need to be supporting.
Amen. And, you know, this case is ongoing. There's many cases now that continue. We have an elderly veteran in Montana, right? He's in Montana. He's locked up. We got Joe Roberts. And we got the situation out in North Dakota, and I believe it's North Dakota, with the Lakota Indians. But I do believe they summoned the help of the United Nations. I don't know what that's all about, and I haven't heard anything more on that.
Well, see, this is what is disgusting to me is, and not to detract from what our men and women did in Oregon, but the guys in Oregon at the Mahir Refuge were all over the news, skewed news, but all over the news nonetheless. And yet our Native nations are standing up. In the Dakotas, I'm just going to say the Dakotas so that we don't confuse whether it's North or South Dakota, but they're standing up in the Dakotas, standing against the federal government breaking their own treaties to put a pipeline across that land. And yet the same federal agencies are coming in there and literally arresting and removing them from their land, their own sovereign nation that was given them by treaty, that should never have been given them by treaty in the first place. Censored place to begin with, because that was their land before we came over and stole it.
Yep. And is a grave situation, and you know, it's the showing of unity out there between everybody too is pretty good, because they got a pretty large group together, and they're standing, and I guess they're calling in a national emergency. The governor's really pulling some tricky stuff out there, and it could get dangerous for these guys that are out there. And folks, I'm trying to.
We need to stand with our Native Nations.
And I'm trying to get somebody from the tribal council out there on the show. I have a friend who's out there, my friend John, who's up in the area there, and he's talking with the leaders, and he's trying to get one of them to come on the show. So we may have one of the tribal council from the Lakota Indians coming on to our show soon to give us a real lowdown of what's really happening.
I would like to co with you, if not co, at least be on with you for that, because it's very important that we get this information out there, because the mainstream media is not mentioning a peep about it. And these are our Native Nations. They need to have their story out there, and it's not.
Well, you know, nowadays only Black Lives Matter, so they're just falling on hard times, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame. You know?
Yeah, it is beyond
really
a shame.
What it comes to. It doesn't fit into the narrative, because
no,
Democrats don't give a rat's ass about the Native Americans of this country.
Well,
they only care about getting as many votes as they can. That's why they're ushering in all these folks across the southern border. That's why they're doing all these tricks and all this stuff to skew the voting system in this next election. We know it's rigged. Everybody knows it's rigged. It's unbelievable that the whole country knows it's rigged and nothing's going to happen.
There's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing will change. You know, that last song that you played, We Need a Hero. Actually, we don't need a hero. We all need to be our own heroes. We all need to educate ourselves, which is why we hold Constitution 101. And one of the folks that is listening, Mr. Maddox, he is a huge proponent of reading the Red Amendment, because whether or not you reset your nationality, if you at least educate yourself as to exactly what the 14th Amendment did to us as changing our nationality from that of our individual sovereign states to that of the legal fiction of the District of Columbia, you will then understand exactly how badly we have been screwed. And then you will understand that legal maxim of ignorance of the law is no excuse, because the law of the 14th Amendment, our ignorance of it, the fact that we were born many generations after the implementation of the 14th Amendment, and we can't use the excuse of, well, I didn't consent. Well, your ignorance of the ways of revoking your consent still makes you consent. So don't vote. Voting is treason anyway. It's treason against the Republic. It's treason against the original Constitution. And it's treason against your sovereign state, despite the fact that your states are also operating under de facto instead of de jure government is neither here nor there. It's treasonous to do so. Simply don't vote. The vote is, it's all in anyway. We all know that somebody, whomever they put in place in that office of president, is going to be a puppet anyhow. So it doesn't matter. The office of president is not going to solve the problem.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Red Amendment series. I don't know exactly when folks will be getting into that Red Amendment series, but we're going to be doing it, and the author of the book has agreed already to come on and do the show with us, at least the very first show, and to come on and update us as time goes on and help us get through it properly and correctly. He spent many years researching the 14th Amendment and getting this together as a textbook. Folks, the textbook's $60 on Amazon. On Amazon, or is it on eBay? eBay, I believe. So you can search that out. And in the realms of textbooks, $60 is cheap.
Yeah, and you can get it on eBay. When you guys are ready, you can either check out at my a Facebook page at Constitutional Truth Char Signs. I will also provide a link to Mark for him to place on the Patriot Nation Radio page for the eBay site for picking it up. Also at PAC, you can buy the book there. It's the same price. It's the same book. It's just two different places you can get it, depending upon how you prefer to shop. And it shouldn't be too much longer that we'll be getting into the Red Amendment. I know Mr. Maddox will be more than happy to assist us with that series. And one of us can dial him in with us, and he'll be happy to join us on that series. He is extremely knowledgeable in it and will be more than happy to help. We'll have to do more than an hour, though, on the show because we'll need to be able to take questions. And Mr. Maddox can be a tiny bit long-winded. I know he's listening. He's getting ready to say something to me, but yeah. but he's yep, there's the giant thumbs up. But Mr. Maddox has so much to share, and but he and I are learning from each other. He's learning to give that chocolate cherry gâteau cake in small slices, and I'm learning the information that I need to share with people. So, but on with Article 3, which he just said long-winded, but on with Article 3. This, as we've discussed many times before with regard to the original Constitution and what the original intent is supposed to be, this is a contract. It's a contract that was established among the several states to establish the federal government, and the federal government is not a party to it. Obviously, the 14th Amendment flipped everything upside down. Because originally the establishment was supposed to be the people, the states, and then the federal government. The 14th Amendment flipped that upside down, where it was the federal government, the states, and then the people. Article 3 discusses the job description of the Supreme Court. And with all contracts, as we should know, with all legal contracts, they are written in order of importance, an order of importance.
Right.
No, Tom, sorry, there's no chat room in this show. So we started in this contract with the legislative branch, meaning that the legislative branch is meant to be the more important of the three branches. Nowadays, we think that the president is most important. And then it was the executive branch, and then we have the judicial branch. And it's almost nowadays that they are somewhat equal, and many would argue, and I do argue this, that they have become so intertwined that one can't tell one from one branch from the other. There's a show on Netflix called House of Cards, and I would suggest many of you who subscribe to Netflix or have friends who subscribe to Netflix and might offer you the opportunity to use their account to watch this show, House of Cards, because it's rather interesting. It gives you a Hollywood view of a behind-the-scenes look into the machinations of D.C., and I would say it's probably spot on as to how things actually operate in D.C., specifically with how the executive and legislative branches commingle with each other and do lots of behind-the-scenes backroom deals. So here we have Article 3 and Section 1 stating, "The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall, at stated times, receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office." So,
all right.
Okay, so we've got the Supreme Court established. It doesn't say how many justices. Currently, we have 9, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just clearing my throat. Currently, we have 9 Supreme Court justices, actually 8 because Justice Scalia passed away.
Right. Right. That is correct. And his seat has not been replaced, or there has not been anyone put in his seat, but there are currently 9 seats. And of course, they receive payment, and it says during good behavior, which of course means that they can be removed. It doesn't state that they are elected. It doesn't state that they have a specific term of office or anything. Okay. Section 2, and this is very, very important. It's got 3 clauses, but this is a very important section. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made, or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between 2 or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, and that was changed by the 11th Amendment apparently, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state of or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. Well, since this clause was changed by the 11th Amendment, we must look at the 11th Amendment.
Yes, indeed. There you go. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Summing through the Constitution, folks.
Okay, I've got it marked.
Yeah.
The 11th Amendment was ratified February 7th of 1795. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or proposed against one of the United States by citizens of another state or by citizens of subjects of any foreign state.
All righty.
So
what exactly do we have there?
In other words, it's saying that the judicial power of the United States stays within the United States. Okay. So, and that, let me see.
And of course, the initial clause there was changed by that.
Right. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state. Okay, so the states apparently have no ranking there, or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. So the citizens of Texas trying to sue the citizens of Arkansas apparently cannot go running to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And, of course, the Supreme Court can't make any judgments on anything dealing with issues between France and the United States or what have you. That is what I'm reading from it. Understand, I am not an attorney and I'm not trained in attorney speak. And again, I have been asked by our good friend, Mr. Maddox, where is the United States? The United States is D.C. proper.
Yep, 10 square miles inside of Maryland. I guess part of Maryland, Virginia, and what's the other? But Delaware, maybe?
I do
Maryland,
believe it is
Virginia.
Delaware. I do believe it was Delaware, Virginia, and Maryland that ceded land to form that seat of government.
10 square miles.
Correct.
The United States of America Incorporated.
Correct.
Which I am not a citizen of.
Well, yes, you are, according to the 14th Amendment, until you change your nationality.
Yes.
But anywho, so that's Clause 1 of Section 2, is saying that the Supreme Court is the highest court in the real republic. Okay?
Right.
And that is what most of us understand it to be, that we start at our local court. We don't like what we hear there. We take it to the next level, next level, next level, until we reach the Supreme Court for a final opinion. Not ruling. Opinion. Change your narrative,
right,
ladies and gentlemen. Opinion. Okay?
Yeah, the Supreme Court. I was going to say, when did it actually switch from them making rulings to giving opinions like that, you know?
It's always been opinions. It's just that because of our programming and indoctrination through television and the educational system, we have had our brains trained to believe that the Supreme Court issues rulings because we are all subjects of the United States under the 14th Amendment, and therefore what the Supreme Court says goes.
Right.
The sovereignty of the
people. Been trying to explain to people too about how there is no constitution inside those 10 square miles, and that can be plainly seen in a video that was posted by my guest this Thursday, Adam Kokesh, when he was dancing at Thomas mm-hmm. Jefferson Memorial and was arrested as the police yelled straight to him, "You have no rights in D.C." plainly on the video. And that's just the way it is, folks. The Constitution is non-existent in the 10 square miles inside Washington, D.C. So if you're in there
mm-hmm.
or you claim to be a citizen of the United States, which we all are until you actually change your nationality, we'll get into that with the 14th Amendment, the Red Amendment. We really have no rights right now, and it's scary stuff. And that's why they're being laughed at in court. Prisoners who are trying to use the Constitution as their defense, they're laughing at them. They have to really have persistent counsel to pound away and let it be known. It takes folks like us, alternative media, and patriots across this country to keep that message going and to help these political prisoners that are suffering right now in jail, have not been convicted of any crimes and are in solitary lockup sometimes and being beaten and dragged around by U.S. marshals and jail officials, things going on. It's crazy. And it really is up to the people to keep that story hot and live and moving through the pages so that people don't forget, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I got there, but I just went on a tangent. Sometimes it happens.
It's okay. It's part of what we do on Patriot Nation Radio, so.
Yeah, you know,
one
of these
Friday
nights.
Right. One of these Friday nights.
The Train Wreck Radio Network.
There you go. One of these Friday nights when you aren't spending time with family, which will be never, you should spend 15-30 minutes with this on my show, and you will see how I start out the. I start out with what I plan to talk about, and then I bring my guests and listeners on, and it goes from there, and there's no telling where it's going to go. But it's all right. It's all right. I generally try to pull it back around a couple, 4 or 5 times. It's okay. We kind of stay on topic, but yeah. So with
the train wreck radio network.
Yes. Yes. But we like it that way. I think we do. And I think our listeners enjoy it as well because they get to realize that we are real people with real passion for this republic and a restoration of natural law, natural rights, true liberty, and if not to the original Constitution, to something so close to it, and if at least maybe even better, that we will eject that de facto government that is sitting there since 1868 and restore the liberty that we're supposed to have. So,
yes, indeed.
We'll continue here. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, but as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Okay, let's look at that again. That's Clause 2 of Section 2. In all cases affecting ambassadors and other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In other words, they don't have to start at their local municipal court. They go directly to Supreme Court.
Right.
Okay? In all other cases before mentioned, okay, talking about the first clause of Section 2, the Supreme Court will be appellate jurisdiction. Appellate from the word appeal, meaning that eventually you get to Supreme Court.
Right.
Both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. All right, now what that is saying there is that as appellate court, they get to take into consideration law and fact, okay, whatever evidence you bring, and of course, whatever laws are on the books, and with any exceptions and any regulations as Congress shall make. The reason I'm getting very detailed on this is because there's a very important case that came about that we will end up having to discuss. It came about in 1803. A case called Marbury versus Madison. So we will have to have at least one more episode because Marbury versus Madison is not something that we can just gloss over. The Patriot community is somewhat divided on Marbury versus Madison. Some say it's good, some say it's bad. But historically speaking, Marbury versus Madison is a turning point with regard to how the Supreme Court began to operate. Now, the next clause three is the trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crimes shall have been committed. But when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed.
Right. And
Okay. Well, here we're talking about. Remember, they have jurisdiction on the sea. Okay, maritime and admiralty jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the flag we see with the gold fringes around it.
Right, but at the time, we're talking about a de jure government. Okay, these were the founders writing something before 1868, before the 14th Amendment, and at the time we still had the Navy, we still had people traveling, and so on and so forth. So if a crime occurred on a passenger ship, let's say, then Congress could write a law that says a sea captain can establish a court on his or her ship. Well, at the time it would have been most likely been a man, but sea captain can establish a court on his ship to determine what's going to happen. Okay. And I'm not talking about old pirate movies where you walk the plank. Okay.
Arr, matey.
Okay. But
land lover.
Right. But you know, if you're at sea, you can't very well, go to the district court, you know, the second district court or, you know, Ninth Circuit Court, what have you. Excuse me just one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I have kitten issues. they're about teenager age, I guess, if you were to compare them to human beings. And he's messing about with my things. Okay, down you go, buddy. All right. Yeah, there's just no safe spaces anywhere. I need my safe space. Sorry. yeah, well,
you know.
Things disappear in this house with these cat children. So what they're saying, though, is that if the crime occurred in the jurisdiction of the Republic of Texas or the Republic of Mississippi, then obviously the trial would be held there. But if you were in, on sea, then the trial could, based on any laws that would have been in existence at the time, the trial could occur at sea, is what that clause is saying.
Right. Sean, do you think you can carry it for a minute? I got to go inside. My son is giving my wife a little bit of a hard time. I'm going to mute my mic and head inside for a minute.
Absolutely. I tell you what, if it's not furry children, it is real children these days. But that's what happens on Trainwreck Nation Radio. So that's Section 2 of Article 3. Then we get to Section 3, and it has two clauses, and that will be the end of the job description for our Supreme Court. Section 3, Clause 1, is treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. That's it. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. Ladies and gentlemen, this is rather important to understand, okay? Treason against the United States is clearly defined here in Section 3 of Article 3 of our original Constitution. And again, it says it's consisting only in levying war against the United States, understanding that at the time that this Constitution was written, the United States was the republic formed of the several states, not the legal fiction of D.C., not the federal government itself, but the republic of the Republic or the Union or the Confederacy of the several states that came together. So when you get us all together and you see that it says that treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against the states or adhering to their enemies, in other words, you know, siding with the enemy, or giving them aid and comfort. Oh my gosh, how many Toyotas and weapons have we seen on videos left behind for Al-Qaeda and ISIS and other enemies of not just the American people, but all sorts of our allies and even those who aren't allies to us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's rather confusing to me, okay? But again, that's the definition of treason, okay? And no person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act. Understand that overt means that it's something that is done openly. Okay, there's a difference between overt and covert. Covert is something that's done secretly, quietly, behind the scenes, and nobody really sees it, like, you know, the CIA and signs, spies, rather. Okay, whereas the overt act is something that is done in the open, okay, what happened in Oregon on January 26th of 2016. Okay. But two witnesses have to testify that they saw and witnessed an overt act of levying war, adhering to, you know, siding with the enemy or giving aid and comfort to the enemy in order for treason to stick. Okay. Or the person accused of treason has to confess in open court, which is why so many, many, many of the persons who have, quote, served in D.C. since 1868 have never had treason brought against them. Not to mention the fact that they're not committing treason because they're following the 14th Amendment to the letter.
Well, if you see, they just charged Bo Bergdahl with treason.
Well, I certainly hope that Bo Bergdahl has two witnesses of his overt act. Of course, it doesn't really matter because they don't follow this document anyway. It's just a piece of paper for them to wipe their backsides with, as far as they're concerned.
Yep. Be fairy.
Now, the second section, second clause of Section 3, rather, is the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attained. So I guess if I'm reading this correctly, and again, I'm not an attorney and I don't speak legal, okay, although usually with, you know, a couple of dictionaries, I can generally suss it out, but what I'm seeing here is that the penalty for treason cannot be death, but it can be anything up to death.
Damn, no death?
No, apparently not, is what I'm reading.
I know when some of these people that are committing treason came into my court, when you let four Americans burn and die in Benghazi, Libya, I think you should atone for the deaths of those four innocent men who just trying to feed their families, for crying out loud. But, you know, who am I?
Right.
They won't be coming into my court, so they don't have to worry about me presiding over their treason case.
Yeah, and since neither you nor I are in Congress, and of course Congress is in bed with the executive branch, which is in bed with the Supreme Court, you know, I mean, they're all sleeping with each other, and you know, I'm not going to say anything else that would be untoward, but, you know, since they're all each other's best buddies and everything, nobody's going to do anything other than a smack on the wrist and, you know, you naughty, naughty man. How dare you do that? Don't ever do it again.
Nope.
Now go home, Hillary.
I'm telling. That's it. I'm telling.
Right. I'm going to go on national television and behave as though I'm incensed. Shame on you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. This part of the administration really got me in a twist.
Well, it's not just this administration. It's the administration since I've been studying this, even before I ever heard of the Red Amendment, even before I even had my eyes open about the half of what the 14th Amendment did to us. I've been a lifelong student of history, and I've just been looking at things, even the mainstream history, and questioned. I've always been a questioner of things,
yes.
And I've looked at things, and I've thought, you know, there's just something not right since the Civil War. There's just something not right. There's always just been that little, I guess, prick in your spirit, for lack of a better term. There's just always been that little pricking in my spirit that says there's something not right going on here since the Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression, depending upon where you stand on it. But I'll just use Civil War for lack of a better term, and it's the one that's most known. And ever since that period in time, something has not been right. But until that time, our nation was, you know, our republic was okay. It wasn't perfect. No one ever said it was. I mean, even George Washington with the Whiskey Rebellion, okay, he wasn't perfect. None of them are. They even say in the preamble to form a more perfect union. They never said this was going to be perfect, but they tried to set a stage for the best way for us to have liberty if we ourselves would be constantly vigilant in maintaining it. We have to maintain our own liberty.
Yeah. Hey, maybe the Civil War was the most widespread false flag operation in American history so they could pass the 14th Amendment and hammer everybody down.
You know, it's a little bit of both. There's my regular guest on Friday night, Mr. W.H. Cratch. He is a major student in the War of Northern Aggression. And he is a son of the South. And he knows quite a bit about it. And he's got a lot of the true history behind it. The vast majority, or, you know, the biggest reason for that war was the tariffs, the tax on cotton. Okay. Now, another reason for it, or another thing, a very little known fact, is that the majority of the generals involved in that war were sons of the original founders of the Republic to begin with.
Yep. So, you know, it could be the biggest ruse of our history was the Civil War, followed by 9/11. 9/11 was used, I think, to usher in the Patriot Act. I know. They used that as a reason for the Patriot Act. It was just, when the Patriot Act came out, I was just shocked at how fast, I think it was 1,200 pages written and signed, like, so fast after the incident happened, it was like they had it in a desk drawer somewhere and they were ready to go. You know what I mean? And I think that this might be something like that. You know, I think the Civil War might have been a huge false flag, although there was legitimate gripes and grievances by those in the South against their taxes and tariffs and things that were being done to the South. And really, the Civil War, to me, when I look at everything, was a states' rights issue more than anything, kind of like some of this battle out at the Malia Refuge is about the states' rights. The Bundy Ranch, Clive and Bundy was saying, I'm not paying taxes to the federal government. I'll pay my taxes to the state.
Right.
In the state that I'm in. And that's
right.
Where the conflict is. You don't want to pay the federal. You shouldn't have to pay the federal government. But they own that damn land. And they're not supposed to own that land. Did they go to the Nevada legislator and go through the process of purchasing that land and have a specific reason that they needed all that land out there? No, of course not. But they own it. And they have given policing authority to the BLM to go out there with guns and tactical gear and MRAPs and drive around in the desert in the name of protecting some stupid turtle who thrives off of cow dung. So it's kind of like, what the hell's going on out there? You know? It's obviously a push for resources and minerals and gold and uranium and all this other stuff. There's no other reason for them needing and wanting that much land. And we know about the Chinese deal with the Harry Reid trying to make that gigantic solar field out there as part of that. And, of course, he's now got some sort of ranch that borders on the Bundy Ranch, I believe, and he's trying to impose himself on that even more. So it's kind of goofy. Mm.
Yeah, Harry Reid, Dirty Harry, and Dirty Harry, like the movie star Dirty Harry, you know, the movie star character Dirty Harry, but bad Dirty Harry. You know, Dirty Harry Reid is doing a whole lot of ugly stuff, and it was never the intention of the founders for our representatives in federal government to be our rulers. It was never their intention for our representatives to make money hand over fist while in that position. They were never supposed to take up residence in D.C. and spend the majority of their time there. They were always supposed to meet there for the time period that they were in session, and then come back to home. And not only to meet with their constituents if they were House representatives, or to spend time in their state governments if they were senators, but also to continue the work of their own labors, no matter what that work might have been, you know, if they were attorneys or if they were doctors, you know, whatever the heck they were, to continue making their own money the way they had been before they were elected, so that they could continue to support themselves and their families. It was never meant to be a career choice. Politics was never meant to be a college course or even a degree program. It was never meant to be a career program, and it sure as hell was never meant to be a way for people to be elected and exchange handshakes and blowjobs in order to become rich.
Right. Hey,
I'm sorry, I had to go there. I apologize.
That's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Patriot Nation Radio is now rated PG-13. But
I do apologize. But, it almost comes down to that, you know, especially when you consider, you know, Mr. Clinton's impeachment proceedings where he wants to sit there and, you know, cry and whine and moan and, you know, and split hairs over the definition of is. I mean, let's think about it, folks. This is the 14th Amendment jurisdiction under which we live when our rulers get to determine the definition of words and get to do and perform fellatio upon their interns in the Oval Office and get away with it. When his wife gets away with passing sensitive state information that if, you know, you or I were to pass across our own private email servers, we would be put under the jail in Gitmo.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, listen, we're right here towards the end, and we have a caller, looks like, wants to chime in. You want to take a caller? We don't usually do that.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah.
Let's do that real fast.
Absolutely.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome to the show.
Or my,
this is
my, if the lesbian and her bitch got hell-bent, 186 calls to the FBI, and they're investigating me for hate.
Oh, well, so much for that plan. Back to the show. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte has a show Friday night, Constitutional Truth, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Why don't you tell folks how they can link up with your show, Char?
All right. Well, on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. on God's time, as Mr. Maddox would say, you can catch me right here on Patriot Nation Radio. You can hook up with the event and the link and everything else at Constitutional Truth Char Signs on Facebook. And I'll keep you tuned in, with the exception of last Friday when my day was ever so busy that it was so very last minute.
Right.
I'm sorry, that was the person that you brought in on the call. He said, sorry, I was reading a report from the FBI. anyhow,
good.
But that's how you get. That's how you reach me on Friday nights. We pretty much do the unless I have a special guest. We pretty much do the show where my listeners are the guests. I have a couple of regulars that are always on the show: W.H. Cratch, Gillis when he's not doing his own, Mr. Maddox, sometimes Miss Robinson comes on, and we all hang out together and we discuss the topic at hand. And sometimes folks bring their own information that they have for us.
Awesome.
And
that's
we
Friday
just have
night, folks, 8 p.m.
Time.
Right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Make sure you link up with that show. And, of course, we got James Bostic Thursday night, 7 p.m., A Conservative's Perspective. You don't want to miss that. And always entertaining. And, of course, Constitution 101 right here, right now, Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation. All right, Char, thanks a lot. Let's cover that Marbury case on the next episode.
Yes, yes. I think people would be interested in hearing it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, have a great night. I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing the show with us once again. And I'm going to leave us out with Dave Bray live in Pittsburgh doing the Star Spangled Banner. Until we meet again Thursday night, Adam Kokesh, 8 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good night, and God bless America.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight? gleaming, whose broad stripes in bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Oh, say does that star